Here's what I want to do. I want to read a passage of scripture for you, and then I want to tell you a story, a true story, personal story, and then I'm going to work through the scripture that I've read to you. And we're all looking at the lens of gratitude and thanksgiving. This is the week for it. But as I sort of unpack this and tell the story and move through the scripture, I think you'll see the reason and really why I am truly grateful and very thankful for all that God has done and others have done for me. So from Psalm 103, and I want to start about verse 8 and go through, I think, about 16, about 18. And so if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn there, or smartphones or something to read that, and then it'll be up on the screen and we'll go through it verse by verse. But here is this text from Psalm. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As the father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And in its place, it remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. God's word for God's people. Let all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I was just thinking about this year, and I have so much to be grateful for and thankful for. But one of the memories I was thinking about was the Guatemala trip, the Guatemala mission trip that I made with the youth and some of some of you folks that are in here who went along as counselors. It was a wonderful trip. I don't know if you remember when it was, but it was back in March. It was right after Easter. We left like the Monday after Easter, Sunday. And so a lot going on during that time. And I really wanted to be a part of it. But I also knew that in doing so, I would be coming back on Sunday night and having to leave and go again on Monday morning, going to a clergy retreat that I take part in. Now, you teachers know well about this, and maybe other professions do as well, but we have to have something called continuing education. Y'all have to have those, this continuing education unit. And we have to have a couple of those as pastors as well. And so there's a group of us, and the impetus for it was this trip to Israel that we made together through Candler. And so it sort of became this clergy support study group. It's, you know, it's fairly large, 25, 30 people. And we would take turns in different responsibilities, particularly in getting the resource person who was going to come and to teach us or do something for us such that we would get continuing education credit. But it was always up in the mountains in North Carolina, at Hinton Rural Life Retreat, and so it was always a beautiful place to go and a lot of good worship, and it was also a good time to just, you know, love and support our friends. And so it's something I look forward to, and every once in a while I have to take responsibility in, and this particular one coming on the hills of the Guatemala mission trip was one that I had a lot of responsibility for. I was in charge of the key resource person. Don, you remember the story? Don was in the midst of all of this anxiety that I had. So my complaint has been, I don't know that I've said it out loud, but you know how sometimes you go to these continuing education events and you say, wow, when I do it, I'm going to do it so much better than they are because I'm going to make it interesting for people. And so, I have to confess sort of this, a little bit of a judgmental attitude and thinking, I'm going to put together this, you know, this really good thing. And of course, we have a committee to work together. And so, pitched the idea, and it was this. I have some friends, two men, that have this incredible ministry. He is a professional actor, one of the best actors in Atlanta. I mean, he was like best in Atlanta or Atlanta's favorite or whatever it is the magazine thing does for several years ago when he used to work with the Alliance and with the Shakespeare. He was with the Georgia Shakespeare Festival. He had kind of a transformational experience maybe 10 years ago or 11 years ago that at the church that he was going in, he just wanted to grow closer to God. And so he decided during Lent, as an actor, he had these skills. He was going to memorize the Gospel of John. He never thought about performing it. He was just going to memorize it. And so he did. And he, you know, he told his preacher somewhere along the way, and they asked him if he would do it, just going to read it or at a Wednesday night supper. And so he did that. And as an actor, he put some drama to it. And that launched into this incredible ministry. And he has memorized key parts of the Bible. He has one called Red Letter Jesus, where it's all the red level letters. He has one which is the prophets. He's got all different kinds that he does. Right now he's got one called Exodus. But he does these shows, but the guy that he works with goes over to Israel and takes this video on the, you know, right there in Israel, and then they have other kind of images too. And so it's this multimedia. There's music involved. There's acting involved. It is just an incredible experience of the Bible. And so I was going to have him come and do one of the shows in the Hinton Rural Life Center. There is a beautiful chapel with this, it kind of looks out on glass behind you. And so he's going to be doing the Red Letter Jesus, the words of Jesus, in this beautiful setting at sunset. And then the next morning, he and Mark are going to talk about collaboration, about how they worked together, and they were going to do these exercises with us about building collaboration to work how they get together to develop such a thing. And so everybody loved the idea, and it was going to be great. And so I was very excited about it, and I reached out to Brad and Mark and had the dates. But coming up to our Guatemala trip, this is coming someplace, I promise you. Did you ever preach a sermon and going like, where in the world is he going with this? And so coming up to it, I was going like, I need to reach out to them and double check and do all that kind of stuff and, you know, send them an email and make sure everything's, you know, copacetic to have it be on schedule. And things got busy. Holy Week got here, and I didn't. And so it was like, I'm Sunday afternoon after Easter. I'm thinking, I've got all these things to do. I've got to send Brad an email. So I sent him an email, and I said, looking forward to being with you next week, yada, yada, yada. And then I caught the plane the next day, and we get there. Now, internet service we have at the place, and I also have international phone service, but international phone service does not work if you don't have a phone signal. And it was very spotty at best. And so the next morning at breakfast, I am reading my email, and it was one from Brad, and he says, you mentioned in your email seeing you next week. I hope you are talking about next month. That's when I have it on my calendar. I have another conference I'm doing. And suddenly, I was like, what am I going to do? I'm in Guatemala. There's no way that I can, you know, have time to get things on the floor. I have royally messed up. I have royally let down all these people that are gathering here. What am I going to do? And so I was a nervous wreck. And, you know, Melissa and Don and Joshua and Stanley was there. I'm calling a couple of people that work on the team, and I was going, and they're both so super organized, and they so take care of me. And so I called them and said, I can't believe what I've done. I am the biggest dummy in the world. I have made this huge mistake. I don't know what, and I'm not talking to them. I'm leaving a message because I can't get them on the phone. So anxiety ridden, all this kind of stuff. And I'm trying to call Brad to tell him it's going to be okay, but we're not going to be able to do it, you know, the next month, because it is this month and everybody's planning on it. So when I call him, he said, "Oh, that's okay. I got it worked out. I was going to a conference and I got them to rearrange their schedule and they put us to the end and not, you know, not on that day. So we're going to be able to come." So then I called and I got my other two friends and they were going, "Dave, it's okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, it was all right. I know you're upset about it, but it's all right. Things like that happened. It was okay." And I had this great idea of what this person I could invite in, and we could have done this, so it would have been okay. So they were so incredibly gracious for something really stupid that I had done. And I went out from there, and I said to Don and anybody else, I said, "I do not deserve the friends that I have. I didn't deserve, you know, Brad and Mark rearranging their schedule." They didn't have to do that, but to rearrange their schedule so they could come there and be with us. My friends were, you know, they could have been angry with me, and some people on the trip might have been if it didn't work. But they weren't. They were incredibly gracious from that, and it reminded me of how grateful I am for my friends, but just also how God reveals Himself so many times through our friends, and the great ways that He does that, and as powerful and as gracious and loving and merciful as our friends can be, God is infinitely beyond that. So I want to look at this. God is merciful to us. Some things that we got in the scripture from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient, with full of love, faithful love. God won't always play the judge. He won't be angry forever. Actually, just want to look at the first part of that, and just thinking about how compassionate and merciful and patient my friends were and Brad were, and so many of you have been to me in times where I really did not feel like I deserved it. You showed me mercy and you showed me grace and patience. If God has done that for us, how much more should we do that for others? I am very grateful for that. I'm very thankful for that. I want to think about times in your life where just you can't even explain it. People have covered for you, and people have made you realize that you were more than just what you did, and you certainly were more than the mistake that you made. And I'll get to that a little bit more in a second. In that scripture that we read about the Lord is merciful and kind, there's the King James. If you grew up in the church like I did, you might have got sort of the King James language, because it's one of those verses that sometimes people, you know, quote or put up on a board someplace. And they use the word plenteous, which is not a word that we use anymore. It's a King James word. But I was looking at the commentary on it And one of the writers had said, "All the world taste of His sparing mercy. Those who hear the gospel will take of His inviting mercy. The saints live by His saving mercy and are persevered by His upholding mercy and are cheered by His consoling mercy. And we will enter heaven through His infinite and everlasting mercy." And if I'm counting that right, that's six or seven mercies. That is plenteous mercy. That is plenteous grace. And that is what God offers us. And that's why I'm so grateful and thankful. God doesn't hold grudges. God is not like we are. Now, sometimes when I tell these little stories like this, or I hear somebody else tell a story and they're using human beings to kind of explain how God is, I get a little bit weary, because we are not God. We are not God. Human beings fall very short for that, but God has chosen so many times to use other people to love on us through. And so I think it's appropriate in that case. But sometimes when we think particularly words like judge and angry, I get a little nervous, because God's anger is righteous anger. God does get angry, but it's righteous anger. Human beings, when we get angry, sometimes it's unreasonable anger. And don't compare the two at all. God is just not flying off the handle just to be upset about something. God is angry about evilness. God is incredibly angry right now at what's going on in the world. And the fear, and the fact that probably people stayed home from church today out of fear. You agree with me? And God's angry about that, and I'm angry about that. We should be angry about that. That's righteous angry. But somebody cut you off in traffic, that's not. You know, there are people that will be, they will be completely have their day ruined over something like someone cutting them off of traffic or getting their order wrong at Dairy Queen or whatever. You know, God's not like that. God is righteous in his anger. But what is the good news is that even when he is, you know, he's not going to be upset and always be angry. You know, people that are always grouchy and always like, God's not like that. What is God like? God forgives our sins. He doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing, because as high as heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithfulness love is for those who honor me. I'll go on to the next one, because the next part just says, God really forgives our sins. And we have such trouble with that from time to time, you and I. I think sometimes we have trouble forgiving others and forgetting. It says that God puts them as far as the east is from the west. And if you're thinking in pre-modern terms, that's infinity, folks. That's infinity. And that's how God does not hold our sins against us because of Jesus and through his blood. He forgives. And so we should also forgive others. God's removed that. He really does. But we sometimes struggle with forgiving ourselves. And I will tell you, if this event had not come off, I would still be crushed about it. I'm still get a little anxious even thinking about what almost happened there. Now, how many of you have done something in the past? Have something that, you know, it might have been some moral failure, but it could have been. But maybe it was some failure at work or with family or with a relation or somewhere else, and you're just having trouble forgiving yourself. God's not going to hold that against you. He's not going to be angry forever. He might be upset, but he's not going to hold that forever. And you need to hear those words. One of the things that one of my friends said when I was standing up there on that mountain in Guatemala, the top of that hill in Guatemala, she said, Dave, you are much more than this event. You are much more to this group than that event. And if it hadn't happened, it would have been okay. Do you know those were really hard words for me to hear and accept? Because I had made my identity about something else. You are so much more the mistakes you've made. You are so much more, and God sees that. God sees that. God knows you and loves you as you are. He loves us just as are. Like a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor him. I have a friend, Chap, and he tells this great story about his kid. And I guess he might have been about 5 or 6 years old at the time, his child was. But it had been a Sunday school lesson, and it was around Father's Day, not Thanksgiving, but it could have been Thanksgiving. But it was Father's Day, and the teacher had simply told the kids, do something nice for your dad. What does your dad love? Go and do that. And so that was sort of their instructions and homework. So Chap says he is sitting in his living room, and it's one of these open rooms where you can see in and see the dining area and see the kitchen. And so he's sitting there, and he's watching a baseball game, and he sees his son come in, and it's almost like you could see the cogs in his mind, the little wheels turning. And he's going like, there's my dad. Teacher says, I need to show my dad how much I love him by doing something he likes. What can I do? My dad loves cookies and chocolate milk. And so he said he watches him go over and kind of plunder through getting, you know, a glass out, big plastic cup, thankfully, and put it down. You know, it's about a 32-ounce cup. And then he gets a plate, you know, and he climbs up and he gets the Chips Ahoy cookies and gets them. They're spilling everywhere. And he comes and puts them down. And then he goes to the refrigerator. And he opens the refrigerator, and he reaches up, and he pulls out a gallon of chocolate milk, which is about weighs about as much as he does. You know, and he's like struggling with it. He opens up the chocolate milk. He pours about half of the chocolate milk on the floor and gets a few drops into the cup. He puts it on the plate. He's got the chips and Chips Ahoy cookies and the chocolate milk, and he's walking to his dad, and he says, "Hey, Dad, Happy Father's Day," and he falls, and he goes all over. He says, "He's got chocolate milk all over everything," and he said he's never loved his son anymore than in that moment. And he said he's almost laughing, and his son is crying. His son is devastating, and he said, "You know, so it's okay, it's all right." That's the way God is with us. He feels that same kind of compassion, particularly when we try to get it right and we mess up. And sometimes we are just heartbroken. But God looks at us in that same way. And I happen to think it's particularly in the struggles where God says, "They're really trying. You know, it's so cute. They're really trying." You know, and if we're doing it out of love, you know, it's just, you know, God remembers that we are dust. And that's really the point that I should make about what Amy said to me up on the hill about that I am more than that event I planned. I am more than the last mistake that I made. You are more than your greatest sin. You are more than that mistake and that burden you're carrying around your heart. You're more than that. God knows that you are dust and are going to spill cookies and chocolate milk. God knows that. He remembers we're dust. This sounds kind of fatalistic. God, you know, we're from dust you came, from dust you return. Well, yeah, it's true. We're all mortal. But what I think this passage is really getting to is there's something more important than just the temporary that's here on earth. That there is this eternity that we are connecting to, that God wants us to get connected to. He links us with eternity by linking us with himself. And I would also say linking us with each other. Linking us with each other as children of God, as God, of brothers and sisters, as community. The Lord's faithful love is from forever ago to forever from now. That's east to west. That's infinity. For those who honor him, and God's righteousness reaches to the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant and remember to keep his commands. God is linking us together in ways you can only imagine. And I am so grateful to you all for the ways in which you show me love. So I'm sitting here and counting my blessings on Thanksgiving. I'm so grateful. You know, there is this woman in the church, this little woman in the church, that calls me every single week. And I'm not suggesting anybody else do this because she already does it. But she calls me every single week, usually on Monday, and says, "I just want to tell you that I love you, and it was such a great sermon yesterday." And it could have been stunk, but she'll still says it. I might not have even preached, and she'll still say it. But she does it every single week. And I feel so blessed because of that. This morning, I came in, and I don't know who did it. It sounds like some Melissa Carter thing, but there was someone had put in two little chocolate Hershey Kisses, a red and green one for Christmas, on my little doorknob going into my door. I love chocolate, but it wasn't much, but just to say, "I love you. I was thinking about you, and I knew that would brighten your day." And those are things that so many of you do all the time, and I'm so grateful. And I hope that I can do that, you know, maybe not to every single person, but if I can do that just to the people that are closest to me, you know, what a better world, because we'll remind each other that we're connected to eternity, we're connected to each other, that we're greater than our mistakes, that we can, you know, we might get angry. Yeah, we need to be like God's anger and get over it, and learn to forgive, and learn to be gracious and to live with a life of gratitude.